This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It's Thursday, it's the 18th of April, 2024. Coming up today, update on Celeste glasses. Also, big news for YouTube users. And now Sean's got the cold. Oh, that's it. It's all over. Double Tap is down.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
Yes, every single day is a new experience for Sean and I. Today is possibly the lowest in our experiences, and trust me, that's quite a list.
Something.
Yeah. Today's show is brought to you by every single disease since the 1920s. Oh, on air.
Dear. I've got to say, do we actually work physically in the same office? How does this happen?
I don't know.
Are we linked here? I know these, voice conferencing software and services are amazing, but we're even spreading diseases now. This is incredible.
Yeah, I will say, I must admit, today was a tough one to get going with. And
yes.
I'm going to tell you, and it's the strangest thing in our world, because in every other line of work, you decide on the evening before you go into work the next day. You know, you'll think to yourself, I wonder how I feel. I wonder how I'll be in the morning. I'll wait till the morning and I'll decide. The problem is, in our world, you need to be a little bit more ahead of yourself. So you have to decide in the future how you're going to be.
Yeah.
So I've made a decision, an executive decision. Yes, I know, you're the executive, I get it. But, you know, I'm making the executive decision today. I'm being Mr. F. Tomorrow, we're going to take a little day off. We're going to get better.
Wow, we're going to take a sick day.
I like to look after you, Sean Preece. I'm a hero.
Well done, you. You're a star. Sorry.
And also, I don't want to do it. So, we're going to take a break tomorrow. So, the best of YouTube coming early on the podcast feed tomorrow. Apologies, but yeah, I think we just need to rest this thing off and get back to full fettle.
Oh, yes. Monday.
Whatever that means.
We'll be back to top gear once again. Maybe.
No, third gear,
okay,
possibly.
Yeah, no guarantees.
Clanking along, yes. Listen, I want to kick off with some talk about Celeste glasses, because you were talking about it yesterday. So much so, we got an email from the CEO of Celeste Glasses. So what have you done, Sean Preece? What have you done? What have you broken now?
This is exactly why I was hesitant to say what I said. But no, it was all true. They did state in the interview with Shub, the CEO of Celeste, that they were, in their next iteration, going to drop the Wi-Fi component of their glasses. Better battery life, slimmer design. So they're going to drop the Wi-Fi element and just stick with Bluetooth. But by doing that, they said at the time that that would mean dropping of real-time video.
Okay. Well, we did get a response. Well, you got an email response, which we're going to play in, actually. Laura's very kindly read this for us. Laura's the only one who doesn't have a cold so far. Although Laura's got kids. I don't understand how she doesn't have the cold. Don't kids carry every single disease you can think of and then pass it to their parents? Is that not a thing?
Yes, it is a thing, but she's probably had every disease by now. You know,
she's immune.
She's immune to
That's
everything.
What it is. Yeah. Well, Laura, who is not ill, thank goodness, is probably the only sensible voice among us right now. She is here to read out the email that Shub sent us, which clarifies the position of Celeste and what these changes that Sean was talking about yesterday actually mean.
Last time I came on, I believe I said that video calling would not be possible since we're switching to Bluetooth. However, we've since realised that it seems to be possible to get video calling working through Bluetooth, as seen in how the Meta Ray-Bans can live stream to Instagram, and that actually happens through Bluetooth. We're not totally sure if we'll be able to replicate this, and our focus is on AI, but even AI doesn't work as well if you can't stream photos. Right now, we're updating our scan text to be faster, and we seem to be able to get 5 photos a second, which is a start. We'll likely be updating that on the app this week. Also, thanks Elijah for the review, it was crazy detailed. Thanks for continuing to spread the word about what we're doing. Shub, founder of Celeste.
Well, thank you for getting back in touch, Shub. I really appreciate that and giving us the update. It's interesting, though, how they're using Bluetooth. It does feel, and I have to say, this has been an ongoing issue for these types of devices, and this is not unique to Celeste.
Nope.
The technology just isn't there yet. It doesn't seem to be able to wirelessly transmit really strong, clear, you know, uninterrupted video feeds, which you need, especially if you use something like Aira. If you're going to use this as a way of, I don't think anybody would recommend this, but you imagine a day if we were using this to cross the road?
Well, exactly.
And we were relying on this?
Yes.
Goodness me.
Well, that's the thing. This isn't a Celeste issue at all. I don't want to point the finger at Celeste. This isn't. This is a technology barrier that no one seems to have cracked yet. And I was very interested that Shub mentioned the Meta Ray-Ban glasses there. I wasn't aware that they were using Bluetooth to stream live to Instagram and Facebook, which they're able to do. But that's very interesting. I would love to know, you know, what the audio, the video quality is like and the frames per second that were possible. So it seems like they haven't given up on real video, real-time video streaming on the Celeste, which is great news. And as I said at the time, as I said yesterday, I'm not saying, you know, these things that they're trying to achieve isn't possible using AI, but I was a little bit worried when I heard that the real-time video support was going, but I'm glad they're still working on it because I still think it's very important.
Here's the question. If Celeste was able to, and I don't know if they are, but if Celeste said, look, we can make this work, but you're going to have a cable connecting your glasses to your phone, would you do it?
You know, I think I would. It's not ideal, though, I don't think. It's extra tangle, extra clutter. But we haven't seen that solution for the iPhone yet, I don't think. Every version of hardwired wearable cameras have been Android. But now we've got USB-C on the iPhone 15 Pro. Yeah, I don't know. I think so. I really want that wearable capability. I was out yesterday taking the dog for a walk, and there was that, oh no, I can hear roadworks somewhere in front of me feeling, right? Really loud. And I just wanted to pull out my phone, take a quick picture, just so I had an idea of what was there, or maybe, you know, be my eyes or Ira, whatever. But I couldn't. I had a cane in one hand, I had the dog in the other, and I didn't want to do a juggling act trying to do it. And that's where I would really like something wearable where I could just, you know, describe what's in front of me. It would be so convenient and so handy. So even if I had to have a cable for that to happen, I think I would try it.
Yeah, I often think with this kind of technology, it's like looking at a box of Lego bricks and then looking at the picture on the box of Lego, what it can create. And then just seeing this mound of bricks in front of you and thinking, I've got all the bits here. I just need to somehow get this together so it looks like that. Yeah. And we all know what that is. We all know what that is. It's that ability, as you say, to be able to take a picture, get instant recognition. I mean, you know, I would argue that that's what Envision is for at the moment. That's where Envision is at with the glasses. You would definitely be able to do that. And that is probably the one instance where you can do this. Celeste is definitely trying to get there.
Well, to be fair, yes. And look, you could do the same thing with the Celeste glasses right now with AI, using the Be My AI equivalent. So it would, you know, just take a picture and describe what's in front of me. But you couldn't use it to navigate around whatever obstacle roadworks were in front of you like you could with real-time video. So, and again, it depends how far we can push AI, because there is that feature. And I've heard no users that are testing Celeste glasses at the minute have come up with any complaints. There's that feature of burst photos. I think Shub mentioned it there, where, you know, if you're looking for something you've dropped on the floor, it can take 5 photos a second or something like that. But then how does the AI process that? We all know that AI is an instant response. So I'm not sure how the use case is for that. But I mean, it's all possible.
You stumbled onto a new wake word there. AI. I like that. AI.
Sorry.
That could work. Okay, thank you, Shub, for getting in touch with us, telling us what's going on with Celeste. And of course, we'll be keeping up to date with Shub as all of this continues. It's a continual development process.
Can I just say,
you know, we could talk every day to Shub, and there'd be something new to learn, I'm sure.
Can I just say as well, when I saw that email come in, I was a little bit, oh dear. But
what have you done?
It just shows, though, how much how great the communication is with the community. Shub was so quick to come back to us on this, and you know, listening to Elijah's review and everything like that. So they're doing a great job when it comes to interacting and listening to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a quick mention as well for the website. We're not going to be around tomorrow, as I mentioned, but you will be able to feast on a lot of different content that you can find on our website, including our new and up-to-date YouTube videos, which you can find on YouTube. Just search for Double Tap Video, or you can find them all via our website. And if you go to the latest from Double Tap, heading at the very top of the page, and you go from there, you'll find lots of different conversations on, for example, Project Tapestry. You might remember we talked to Gideon Mayhew a while back about Project Tapestry. This is the company Icon Factory behind the original Twitterific app that sadly went south as a result of what Elon Musk did over at Twitter. Mm-hmm. We caught up with Gideon earlier in the year to find out what he was up to. This new project, Tapestry, which is all about bringing your social media, your RSS feeds and all of that into one place. Sounds absolutely brilliant. Well, he has managed to get the Kickstarter funding done. So, you know, we're past that point now. The Kickstarter has completed. They've raised the money they need to raise. So we will wait to see. But if you want to find out what that project is, what it's all about, then check out the conversation on YouTube. Also, our first feedback episode we did on YouTube as well. You can go check that out. If you've been sending in any comments or writing in any comments on our YouTube videos, you might hear them on our show. And if you sent in a voicemail, for example, specifically for a YouTube video, then you'll hear it on that show. We'll be doing them periodically on YouTube. So go check all that out at doubletaponair.com or on YouTube. Now, speaking of YouTube.
Uh-oh. Yes.
You might remember, I can't remember how far back, but certainly a few months ago, we've talked about an app which is called Accessible YouTube Downloader Pro. And it's a wonderful app. It allows people who run on, use Windows to be able to, you know, easily access YouTube videos. And Robin Christofferson, good friend of the show, he's been on many times talking about it. And he gave a wonderful demo of it as well. But there is something about this app that made me nervous. And that is that, well, two parts actually. One is you don't get ads on it, which, okay, some people say that's a good thing. You don't get any ads. But secondly, you can't sign in to YouTube Premium either. You can't do that. There's no way to do it. So you can't get personalized playlists. You can't check your history. You can't do any of that stuff via these apps that are arguably more accessible than the YouTube platform itself. Well, YouTube are catching up with these third-party ad-blocking apps, uh-oh, as they call them. And they are putting them on notice. Yes, an ominous post on the official YouTube Community Help forum titled Enforcement on Third-Party Apps says the company is strengthening our enforcement on third-party apps that violate YouTube's terms of service, specifically ad-blocking apps. Now, what does this mean? Well, basically it means Google would really like you to just go all in on YouTube Premium, right? And totally understandable, I think. Anyway, YouTube has been coming down on some of these apps, which often enable YouTube ad blocking. The company shut down, completely shut down, actually, one of the most popular third-party apps called YouTube Vanced in 2022. Vanced was open source, so no new alternatives, new alternatives did spring up almost immediately. Vanced was the took the official YouTube Android client and installed a duplicate alternative version with a bunch of patches. And it turned on all the YouTube Premium features like ad blocking, background playback, and downloading without paying for the premium sub. It also added features the official app doesn't have, like additional themes and accessibility features.
Oh.
So this has obviously been a bit of a bone of contention for YouTube. However, rather than going after the projects, Google says it's going to start disrupting users who are using these apps. The post writes, viewers who are using these third-party apps may experience buffering issues or see the error, the following content is not available on this app when you try to watch a video. The company continues, we want to emphasize that our terms don't allow third-party apps to turn off ads because that prevents the creator from being rewarded for viewership, and ads on YouTube help support creators and let billions of people around the world use the streaming service. So that is the view of YouTube, the view of Google. And, of course, I immediately think about Accessible YouTube Downloader Pro. And I think that that is definitely one of those apps that is blocking ads, right? It's not showing ads. So it is in danger.
Of course. And is anyone surprised by this? We kept saying this was the only real issue with the software, because it is, I mean, there's no wiggle room here. You are violating the T's and C's from YouTube if you strip out the apps, the ads.
But there is a chink of light in this, I think is good, in that they are not going after them to shut them down now, it seems. Although they did do that with Vanced in 2022, it doesn't seem that they're going to go after them all. What they're going to do is essentially reduce the bandwidth around these kind of apps. They'll, Well, they'll probably be able to identify the ones that are skipping the ads. They can probably do that. I mean, I don't know how they would do it, but I can imagine it's possible.
If they so identify they them, I can't see why they wouldn't just send out cease and desist and just...
Well, but this is the chink of light. I think there's an opportunity here for these third-party apps, and I'm specifically looking at Accessible Downloader, YouTube Downloader Pro, because it is such a good app, and it does make YouTube so much easier to use. I would say it's now time for them to get a grip and actually put YouTube Premium into and the ads into this app. Now, I know people don't like that, but tough, because that's the deal.
It is.
Right? If you want to use YouTube, then, you know, and this is another key point. I mean, this is one area where, you know, normally I'd be a little bit reticent to get too excited about this, but, you know, YouTube does pay its creators. I don't know if it's as much as it used to be. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of creators on there now. But
yeah,
they do get paid.
But it is monetized. So, yeah, exactly. That's what you sort of almost sign up for if you're watching YouTube videos. No one likes adverts, let's be honest. Nobody, but it's just...
I mean, is this akin to downloading music illegally? I mean, is it that kind of level? I suppose it is, if you think about it, because, you know, ultimately you're taking the money away from the ability for someone to get paid for those streaming rights. You know, so if I download a Taylor Swift song,
I
bring up, I don't know why, but you know, if I download that song without, you know, going through the official channel to get that song, then she's in theory not getting paid money for that download. Now, I know, of course, one download means nothing probably, but I'm talking in the bigger sense. And if that's the case, well, this is the same to me. So I think it's about time. There's a chink of light here. There's a time where these apps can get on board. And I think they should. I think they should allow for Google YouTube Premium, and they should enable it, because people who do pay, like me, who do pay for it and can't even use it on an app like that.
Yes.
That irritates me. Suddenly I'm not getting ads. Okay, fine. But I still don't feel comfortable with that. I think there's something not quite right about that. So there's an opportunity for these apps to actually get in gear. And you know, if you want to not have the ads, pay for it.
Well, what is the purpose of this program's existence? Is it just to skip the ads, or is it to make YouTube more accessible to us? I think that's what it comes down to.
But what does it matter? What does it matter?
Because it matters, you know, if it depends if the developer wants to stamp their feet about the ads or just say, okay, no problem, I'll take the ad blocking feature out, everyone gets ads, or you sign in, and the app still goes on.
But that's my point, right? I mean, if the argument is, well, I'm trying to make a more accessible app, well, fair play to you. That's great. But you can't do that by stealth. Yeah, I don't want to say theft.
The ads
theft,
make no difference when it comes to the accessibility-wise, right?
No.
I mean, it's annoying.
They're still going to be there.
But it's not a problem
for
accessibility.
But that's not a good enough excuse. That's not an excuse. That would never stand up in any court in the land to say, well, you know, I find it rather irritating that I get ads, so I'd much rather just not have them.
But that's what I'm saying.
So therefore, I'll just watch the content without it. It's not, you know, we sit here and we don't do this that often, but there's so many people I see who jump up and down about equality. I want the same rights as everyone else. Well, to me, this is special treatment because of accessibility, and accessibility is being used as the excuse. And I'm not for that. I'm not for that at all. I think, no, if you want to have the option to, you know, get an easier to use platform, and I think YouTube would be, and should be actually, and I would say then if YouTube shut it down for whatever reason, then I'd be on their tail about it. Because if this app in particular, or any app like it, puts in the ability to add, you know, to sign into Google YouTube Premium and get rid of the ads and all the stuff, and then they shut it down because they just don't like it,
okay,
then I'm not for that. I'm not for that,
right,
because that's ridiculous.
But hang on. That's one aspect. There's also another aspect. Being able to download the YouTube videos as audio. How does YouTube view that? Is that against their T's and C's as well? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't know if you can download videos via YouTube directly. I don't know if that's a thing.
You can.
I know there
for
are plenty of services that allow you
I'm
to do
pretty
that,
sure there's a download option for premium users.
Right.
Yes. But
well, then in that case, then it's fine, right? And again, if it's in the T's and C's, that yes, but you have to be signed up to do it. That's the deal.
Yeah, but I mean, let's take away from the legality of it, right? let's talk about the
this is usually where these conversations get awkward. Hang on, let me just check in. No, he doesn't like this.
Don't listen, Mr. F.
Let's take away from the legality of it. That's often where people end up in jail. Look,
let's be honest with each other here. We've talked about before how we talked...
just because you're feeling unwell. Don't start getting emotional with me.
Yes, I'm turned off now. It doesn't matter. Look, we've talked about the availability of audio description tracks, right, for movies and shows. And we've almost joked about how, you know, we'd love a service where you could find these because they're not easy to find. We almost turn our blind eye to the availability of audio description tracks that are floating around. We all know they exist, right? So from a moral point of view, most of us don't seem to have a problem with that. So if we're talking about, if it's in the T's and C's that, hey, you cannot convert a YouTube video, download it into an audio format, would we still be outraged and say, okay, all app developers, you need to change that? Or would we say, oh, come on, it makes it easier for us?
I think it's about level playing field. I know where you're coming from with that argument, and we all know the websites we're talking about. I'm not going to name them, but you know, you're right. There is a bit of a false equivalency though, because I think what you're looking at here is access and level access. I'll argue your point till I am sneezing, which will be in 3 seconds. Okay. The way I'm feeling. I think it's a false equivalency because what we're talking about here is level access, right? So equal access. You can get equal access by using that app. It just gives you easier access to the same content you would get on the other side, right? It's different, I think, with this audio described content because we can't get access to it as easily as we'd like. If a company or all these companies would get together and just actually make the content, and I've said this before, the content they've already made... They've already produced all these videos with audio description. You know, I'm talking TV, video, movies, all that. They've done it. They've done the work on a majority of this content. Make it accessible. And when I say accessible, I mean available to us.
Yes.
Yep. That's when the problem exists. When you have a whole network in the UK that basically exists by making all this wonderful audio described content. And then if you miss an episode because you forgot to record this, the first episode of the season, and you only find out on episode 3 that it's actually there, you've missed it because it's gone. And it's in the ether at that point. It's gone. And you just have to hope that you catch it on one of these other channels. I shouldn't have to chase this stuff.
That's
the difference.
That's a fantastic point, and you're quite right. That shoots my argument down. Yeah. I withdraw my statement. Well done.
But as for YouTube, I think they're doing the right thing here. And I hope... And to me, and I'll be interested to hear what you guys think, but I can hear people say, well, you know, this app makes it more accessible and that's better. And, you know, I don't like the ads. Well, tough. That's not an argument to me. That's a pathetic argument.
Oh.
I don't like the ads. It's just stamping your feet up and down like a child. Don't do that. Pay for it like everybody else. If you don't want the ads, fine. But you got to pay for it. That's how it works. You can't take what's not yours.
Stephen Scott. Building bridges. That's fine. Yes. Thank you. Feedback at doubletapon.air.com. Tell us what you think.
I want to quickly mention this story. This is a really interesting one. I spotted this because we were talking to Jakub Rosin the other day, and he had talked about, if you remember, talking about lots of different things, but how some of these web overlay services will ask you if you are visually impaired or not, and then essentially that can be tracked.
Yes.
And of course, you know, there can be issues with that, right? Because you could have a situation where, as Jakub said, let's imagine a situation where you're applying for insurance and they have your information and therefore they give you a specific quote that's perhaps higher than someone else would get because they think they know something about you.
Yes.
That sort of drops you into a box that makes you have a higher premium. Found this story because I'd been hearing about this and it came up in a conversation on a video I was watching, and I thought, that can't be real. This can't be happening. And apparently, it's true. Going back and doing a bit of digging into this, if you use a Mac and you use Safari, there were certain hotel websites about 10 years ago that were actually charging you more money for hotel rooms or showing you more expensive rooms, actually, which is... So it was a bigger problem. They were showing you more expensive rooms because the idea was, well, if you had a MacBook and you were using Safari, you probably had a bit more spare cash to spend. So they'd show you higher quality rooms at more expensive prices. And in some cases, those prices were different as well. And there's a lot of examples Wall Street Journal did a big investigation in this in 2012, which I was reading about, which kind of goes into the whole, you know, specific companies. I'm not going to name them here because I'm sure a lot of this has been dealt with since then. Certainly in the UK, there are laws around this now. You can't do this. But yes, there were examples where, based on the technology you were using, and a Mac was one of them, if you were using a Mac in a specific browser like Safari, you would be charged more for products, potentially, than you would be if you used a PC and Internet Explorer. Is that not wild?
Yeah, it's one of those stories where you initially, well, you said this, you initially think that cannot be true. But when you start diving into the world of data brokerage and everything like that, and the algorithms that are running out there, it is absolutely amazing. The amount of information that they can get from just a browser about where you are in the world, your IP address, what device you're using, everything, it is absolutely amazing, yes.
And there was also a time, and I don't know if this is still a problem, but there was a time when certain browsers would report if a user was using a screen reader, for example. And again, nobody really knew why that was the case. What was the value in that necessarily? It wasn't about providing a more accessible web experience. It was just a case of we're tracking this. Where, you know, because look, it doesn't seem that surprising when you think about how much data we give away every single day just by our web searches, by our conversations online. Everything is data that is just being taken and then used. And it's not for anything nefarious. It's to sell products back to you. That's ultimately what it is.
But in this case, it is. That's nefarious. If you're showing different prices simply based on your presumption that someone using certain hardware is better off financially, then I'm sorry, that is underhand, isn't it?
It's also ridiculous. I mean, if you met someone who uses a Mac, they've got no money. That's why they're all sitting in coffee shops all day, drinking one cup of coffee. Anyway, I thought it was an interesting aside. Look, stick around. We're going to get into more of your emails next. This is Double Tap.
Call the Double Tappers now. 1-877-803-4567. Or email us. feedback@doubletaponair.com.
Okay, do you know what, Sean? I think we've done enough talking for today. I think everyone will be pleased to hear this. So why don't we sit back and enjoy emails?
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
No singing today, I noticed.
Here's your mail today.
Oosh. Or yesterday.
I'm frightened to laugh because if I laugh, I will lose my voice. And that is no good to anybody.
Well, no, of course.
Actually, my wife has already admitted that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to happen, so she's got a point. Okay, let's get into some of the emails then. Loads of you getting in touch. Where do I want to begin? Where do I want to start? You know, I think I'll kick off with Biggles, because Biggles got in touch with a voicemail, which I think you're going to quite enjoy.
Ooh.
Hi, Biggles here. Just listening to Wednesday's show about and mentioned Tesla. Strange thing for you, Stephen. What you said, it was okay for Tesla to release beta software for people to test on the road, but you seem to be very upset when a product for blind people would be released with beta software and say it wasn't right. Which is correct. My feeling is there will never be a self-driving car. Tesla does not use LiDAR or radar to see where it's going. There's an example of a Tesla being summoned from its parking spot at an airport, and it drove right through a plane because it hadn't been trained on planes. Anyway, have a nice day. And
2:46 p.m. Oh. 19.
Quality.
Alexa and call.
Oh, thank you, Biggles. Sending the message via a very clear Amazon Echo device. I want to know what device you've got there, Biggles, because that is very,
very
clear.
Nice.
Yeah,
what?
You can send a message, obviously, via the phone, right? You can call 1-877-803-4567 via your Amazon Echo device and
a
send us a message
one.
That way. Yeah, a beautiful message. Well,
sounded gorgeous.
You say beautiful. Okay, so look, first of all, I'll take umbrage with the suggestion that there isn't going to be a driverless self-driving car. I don't think that's true. I think there will be. I think this technology is very much at day one. Even now. So I think there's a long way to go before we can say this is something that's going to be, you know, fully used. But I think we're certainly getting somewhere. Again, you know, look at the amount of accidents on the road involving real drivers. Don't you want to change that? Don't you want that to be improved?
Oh, whoa, whoa, don't spin it around. I'm sure he's not saying that. He's just pointing out that when can we say this is okay to roll out on the roads?
Well, that's what you were saying the other day, and I said I go back to the point about regulation. I think that's the key. The regulation is, you know, where you set down a set of safety standards that these vehicles must reach.
Yeah, but what is that standard?
What is I don't it? Know. What do I look like? Well, I've got a cold today. I'm not going to run the government for you as well. Come on, someone else has got to get involved here.
What is an acceptable level of accidents or fatalities on the road? It's zero, right?
Of course.
But that's never going to be achieved, ever.
So we just don't bother. So we just say, oh, well, you know, the alternative thousands of people. Look, yeah, I'll just leave it. It's fine.
I'm not picking you up on this. What I am saying is, what is that level? I mean, that's a conversation to be had. When do we say that's safe enough?
Well, okay. I think the first one we can certainly set down in stone is don't drive through a plane. I think we definitely...
Well, yes.
We can definitely put that down as a marker in the sand, I think, or in concrete, actually. On stone tablets. I think we can all agree, if not, on nothing else, that cars should not drive through planes. That would be ideal.
I will say, though, it's very difficult because we've all seen, you know, video clips on whatever social media of various things, either showing how amazing it is or how terrible it is. It's really difficult. You don't know when that was from, whether that was from back in, you know, the very start or where we are now. LiDAR, not LiDAR, just using cameras with image and object recognition. It's very difficult to tell from that. So, I don't know. It's going to happen. Definitely it's going to happen. I still think it's decades away.
It's not going to happen. It's already here. The technology is being refined today. This isn't coming soon. This isn't something that's some, you know, Jetsons-style dream. This is happening today. So the technology, yes. this is all being beta tested, which comes to your main point about your message, Biggles. You know, why am I okay with having a Tesla that's essentially being used as beta test versus buying something like a navigation aid and having to beta test it for the company? The difference is because if I'm buying a Tesla, I'm not buying a car with the intention of it being available to be self-driving, possibly even in the time I own the car. I'm buying it to be a car that I drive around. The purpose of the vehicle is for me to drive it around. That's what I've bought it to do. And it does that. It functions. There are additional beta features that can come with it. However, with smart navigation devices I'm seeing, the whole device is the beta. The whole thing is the beta. You're buying the beta product. That's the difference. So you want me to beta test a product at my own expense, not something that might even be usable without the smarts in it. I've seen examples of this over the years where you have these products that come out and beyond their smart capabilities, once the smart part, the battery's died or whatever, or the app is no longer supported, it's dead. It's useless to anyone. You can't use it for anything else. That's the difference. So if you buy a Tesla or you buy any car and they say to you, hey, you want to enroll in the beta program, or we're just going to enroll you in the beta program for these new features, I'm okay with that because the purpose of what I bought the device to do is still there. You know, it's still a car. I can still use it as a car. But if I buy a smart cane that requires me to have an app and update and, you know, essentially beta this whole thing, and then for whatever reason that company goes south or the technology gets destroyed or whatever, that's it. Done. Just no more use. Can't do it with anything else. And that's my point.
That's a sound argument. I'll give you that. Okay. Thank you, Biggles.
Thank you, Biggles. I hope that answered your question. Sorry if I sound particularly aggressive today. It's just I've got a cold. And in Scots, that means I'm even more aggressive than usual. Not passive, just aggressive. Okay, let's move on to Scout, who has got in touch on the subject of mainstream and braille skills.
Wow, what a show. You guys raised a lot of good points about both keyboard layouts and education. Stephen, you and Sean know what you're both doing there. You and he are the socio-psycho-technical conversationalists. No more imposter syndrome, please. As I am 45 and here in the States, I have RP, educated mainstream. I was offered Braille in my junior or senior year of high school, but I had the option to decline. I did so. I wish I had not. I tried the Hadley system years later when they were still using cassettes, and that was an epic failure. I now use their current much more online system. Slow going, though, as I am also in university working on my bachelor's and working overnights. Sean, I get the self-conscious thing about your eyes, as my right one is starting that journey. However, I was born with a cleft palate as well, so I was self-conscious my whole life. From an American perspective, your eyes are just giving them something interesting to see. You guys inspire me to keep going with school and get my master's in psychology. Laura, thanks for reading this long rant. Hi, Grace. It was great to hear you in Austria live as opposed to pre-recorded.
Yes. Well, first off, I mean, wow. I don't really know what to say to that. We inspire someone to take up psychology. Is that so you can psychoanalyze us professionally? Because I think we need it.
Yes. That's a really lovely email. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that is incredible. Yeah.
We should get Grace back on live, you know.
Well, coming soon. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. Coming soon on that one. We're working on that.
Stop it. Right. Yeah,
we are working on that. She won't be with us this week, obviously, because we're taking a break tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, we'll have to tell her at some point. Hopefully this goes all right. Yeah, this could be the last show. This could be it. Whatever comes on next in the feed of the podcast might be the last you ever hear of us. Because we're canned.
Well, that's fun. We'll find out. Stay tuned or not. Learning Braille. I'm so with you there, Scout, about regrets, about not taking it seriously when I had the chance, maybe when it was... may have been easier, or just, you know, all those years ago. It's not until you look back you think, oh, I could have been so, I want to say fluent, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no,
I could have
exactly.
been, could right. have been so useful to me right now, and just because of what? Why wasn't I forward-looking enough?
But I totally get it. You see, this is the problem. We then end up questioning ourselves, and that's the mistake. This is why... And I know I take a hard line on this, as I do with most things these days, but I take a hard line on this. Kids need this to be episode. Taught this. Don't give them the choice. Don't give kids the choice. If you tell a kid you've got a choice, you can do something really difficult or not, I think most kids are going to go, you know what, I'll skip it. I'm going to Bart Simpson my way through this. I'm just going to, you know, carry on and just forget about it. And don't need it. What do I need Braille for? And I know I would have said the same thing even as a kid. Well, what am I needing Braille for? Because I wouldn't have had the vision level to need it. But I think that is... you know, almost the same argument as why do you need touch typing? Because even then, when I was at school, it probably wasn't as big a deal as it is
hated
today.
Hated it. Three years.
Well, exactly. That's right. It was hard work, but by God, it paid off.
I had to do it. I didn't have any choice on
exactly.
that one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I know why. And I know why the teachers insisted upon it. Unfortunately, in my case, it was for a very negative reason, which was basically, you know, all we can see you as is an administrator or someone who's a secretary, and that's it. No, I have nothing wrong with being a secretary. I mean, I thought it would be a good career path, I guess, for many people it is, into a company. But it's the fact that it wasn't that they were considering that the job. It was that they were considering that as far as I could go.
Yes.
So this is That's the right. most you'll ever achieve is this. And, yes. You know, obviously I did push against that as a kid. That's one thing I did push back against. And I think it's partly why I ended up doing the job I did and do, because... so many people told me you can't do this. You can't come from a poor area and be, you know, a radio success story. And well, they may have been right in that one, but you know, you could be on the radio at least, right? So,
yes.
I just don't have
to be a piano tuner or an audio typist or whatever it was back in the day. Exactly the same. You can be this or that. That's pretty much it.
And unfortunately, and Scout, you're in the same boat as Sean and I are in. Where you're now playing catch up, and it is difficult because it's not just, I mean, a lot of people say, well, it's down to age. And of course, as a kid, you learn more. And I've said that, and it's true. It absolutely is true. But you have so many other things going on in your life. You've got life going on amongst it. So it's hard to spend the time, to dedicate the time. There are lots of people who do it, and I applaud you for it. But, you know, if you've got young kids or you've got a family or a full-time job, it's not easy. It's not easy just to dedicate the time because, you know, what we don't talk about in amongst all this is the mental energy of being blind as well. There's a huge mental energy that comes with it. And I think for low vision people, I certainly feel there's a level that comes of low vision. And I guess this would be the case for RP, like someone with RP like yourself. You know, there comes a point where it kind of goes from you can get away with it for long enough. And then it starts getting just a little bit more challenging. The light starts to get more challenging. The darkness starts to get more challenging. And it kind of almost just runs on this line until I guess there comes a point when there's no choice, really, but to embrace the darkness. Goodness me.
Wow, so many episode titles.
Exactly, that's right. There's the next 10 shows lined up right there. But, you know, that's the point, right? That you kind of get to that stage, I think. That would be my view on this. I've not got that far, which, you know, some people are continually told by totally blind people, oh, that's great, good for you. I'm like, well, I'm not celebrating it because, you know, I don't find it as much of a joy as you think I might. Having the, you know, I often describe it as the car that's just about ready to fall off the cliff. The two wheels are hanging off the front of the edge of the cliff. The other two are just, you know, hanging there, but any moment it could go, but it probably won't with me. That's the thing. It might not go at all. I might just be stuck in this limbo forever. And
you
for
don't
me,
know
it's,
that, do you?
It, well, you don't know. I didn't think I'd get to this point.
It's,
you know,
like
the
Italian
backed up
job.
Against the wall at that point. You know, now it's hanging off the cliff. Goodness me. How far can I push that metaphor? That's my question.
Very good. Thank you, Scope.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I know it's a subject we talk about a lot. What did he call us? Psychological?
I have no idea. It sounded very impressive. Thank you.
I'm trying to work out if it was an insult or a compliment. I couldn't work out which one it was. Is it an insult? I think it's a compliment. I'm going to take it as a compliment. Taking it as a compliment. Thank you, Scott. On to Sean, who has, not you, but another Sean, spelled the proper way, S-E-A-N, on the subject of interval timers.
Howdy, you two. Howdy. My name's Sean, and I'm writing in from California. I only recently found your podcast and am now a daily listener. I'm a sighted accessibility engineer working in the healthcare field, so coming across your podcast made me so happy. You two are a lot of fun and help me stay in the loop better when it comes to assistive technology. Keep up the amazing work. I'm writing in because a listener training for a marathon recently asked about a timer app where you could set different intervals on. I have been very happy with an app called Seconds. I've used it to set up rounds and rest periods for boxing or other interval workouts. It's a native iOS app and, on cursory review, looks to be fairly accessible with voiceover. I haven't used it on my watch yet, but it apparently has an Apple Watch app. Hope this helps. Thanks for the show. Best, Sean.
Sean. Sighted Sean. That's going to be your name from now on.
A useful sighted Sean. That's amazing. Well
How
done.
Dare you.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm not sighted.
Well, that is very true. But what I'm making the point is that you kind of, you know, welcomed Sean to the show and then you basically offended him. I'm just saying.
I did. Not at all.
Called him a useful sighted Sean. That is shocking.
Well, an accessible engineer. I mean, come on now. And what a great recommendation. Thank you so much.
How many engineers are inaccessible? That's my question. And what does that mean?
Accessible engineers. Another episode title. Thank you so much.
Do you know, it's great to hear from you, Sean, because I know we do have a number of sighted people listen to this show, and I love when you engage as well, because this is, it makes me feel so happy that you felt comfortable to do this, because I've had some people in the past privately, when I've been at events or whatever, they'll say to me, yeah, I'd love to write in and get in touch, but I always feel a little bit like I shouldn't because it's not really for me. It's not for me. Well, you've just proven something really important, Sean. This show is for everybody. This is not, you know, the whole thing for me is inclusion, and that means everybody. And sometimes inclusion comes at the cost of exclusion, where we push people away in order to further our own message so we can almost be heard. And I understand why people might feel the need to do that. You know, it's a case of this is where identity politics comes in, right? You kind of put your own identity first before everything else. You forget you're a person. And I think that, you know, this is really important. I'm really glad you engaged this way because that's what it's all about. That's what the show is all about. It's for us all coming together and helping each other out in the best way we can. Sounds like an amazing job you do as well. So goodness me, engineering, psychologists. Are you sure you're listening to the right show? If you sent the message to the wrong show, should you be sending this to someone else, Dave Brown or Kelly and Rami? This just seemed like those people are intelligent people. I don't know what this is.
It's fine. Take it. Take the credit. It's absolutely fine. Thank you. Yes, we have very intelligent listeners.
Intelligent listeners. Yeah, goodness me, they're far more intelligent than we are.
Talking of apps, though, quickly, and talking of our listeners.
That woke you up. Does
it? Yeah, it did. Sorry, I just remembered something. It happens very rarely at my age. Was it 2 days ago we had the email asking about WhatsApp and if we tried video messaging?
Hang on. Did you just refer to an email from the past? That actually
I did.
Something that happened. Well done. Because do you know,
thank you.
Honestly, your memory is shockingly bad. We have sat in front. I said to him the other day, this is no joke. I said to him I said, look, you know, remember this guest we had on the show? And he's got, nope, no idea who that is. I said, you literally sat across from this person. We had a conversation for half an hour with the individual. You said, wow, aren't they the most amazing person in the world? I don't think I've met anyone quite as amazing as that. I will never forget this conversation. And you have no recollection of any of it.
Names I struggle with. Not the conversation. It's names. Anyway, stop putting me off. What was I talking about?
I don't know. Something about apps.
Oh, yeah.
Messaging.
WhatsApp. So The day we got that email in, there was an update in my app store for WhatsApp, and I obviously updated, and I went straight to the camera button, double tap and hold, and bang, I was recording a video note, as they call it.
Yes.
And as you know, Stephen, because I then sent you video
several
notes for
yes
the rest of the night.
And I think one obviously of them wasn't even on camera. I don't know what it was.
Well, no, it made me realise that how dark my house is and my poor kids, because we never have a light on. And I thought, is that the front camera or the back? It's just black because there's no light. But yes, so you double tap on the camera button. This is on iOS. I haven't tried it on Android. Double tap and hold on the camera button and it will start recording. It even counts down 3, 2, 1, and it's recording using the front-facing camera, and you can send a video note. Not much use for us, I'll be honest, in my case, but it's nice to have.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's for many people, this could be great. Like I was saying the other day, you know, the benefit for someone who's deaf being able to send a message. Can you do that thing you do with video messages, or sort of voice messages, where you can sort of click in, or what is it, push up and hold in order
to lock it? Well, I double tap and hold and then let go to send the recording.
Right. Okay.
So, and you still get the camera prompts, like one face bottom of screen and things
yeah, that's
like
good
that. So, well, it's good. Make sure you got headphones on, otherwise you'll annoy the person
all over
you're
the,
sending.
The deal, yeah,
yes, over the recording. But still, it's rolled out. I finally found it, and it works well. It doesn't seem to be accessible. In the notes, it says that you can tap on the sides, either side of the video itself, to skip through it. VoiceOver didn't see anything to skip through, so but it was cool.
We'll still send audio messages, I think. We'll just stick to that. But you
yes
know, great, it's great that the feature exists. So that is great news. It was funny because I was reading an article last night that said that the Notes app on iOS, and I guess across the other Mac operating system as well, macOS, will get a big update thanks to
iOS
to this
18.
this new iOS 18. So that, I don't know what that means necessarily, but I was playing around with that limitless AI. You know, the limitless
yes
one? That's
scary.
That is freaky stuff. That is freaky. I mean, and it's freaky, but it's actually brilliant as well, because you and I were having a conversation and you had made like reference to let's have a meeting about tomatoes on Tuesday at 7 p.m.
Yes.
And instantly on the screen, it comes up with, in the notes panel, Sean suggests a meeting, you know, add to calendar. It's like, wow. I mean, there's umpteen meetings I go on to sometimes, and I think, I wish I could find a way of just collating all of this. But it's not even just collating it, it's collating it in real time, and it's even giving you action points as you go along. So
it was
amazing. Pretty impressive.
I thought it was really cool. I mean, yeah, some people are going to find it a little bit scary, but it could be incredibly useful. And look, yeah, I'm sure it takes its name from the film where, you know, enabling 100% of your brain rather than the 10% or whatever it is we actually use.
Mm.
And I could actually see why. It was so good. It'd be really helpful for me.
Well, this is the company you might remember that brought out the Pendant. And there's lots of people getting rather excited about it. It's $99. It's coming out in August. And it's going to basically have the same ability as the web app does, because it's all web-based. But you'll be able to have it on device and then it'll sync up through your phone or your computer, and then the information you have will be available via it. It will be capturing everything. So you go out for a meeting, you just tap a button, it's recording. There's a light on to tell you it's recording. It's not recording all the time. I do get a feeling that we're going to very quickly move on from being worried about recording to just being used to being recorded. And I think this is going to be the next level of fear is going to emerge. I mean, the free speech people, of which I'm one, you know, I'm all for free speech, but not without consequence, obviously.
Yes.
But, you know, every single thing you say in private being potentially
wow
listened to, and then not just being listened to, but, you know, you can go right back to it and say, he said
processed
this at this time.
Yes. And, welcome to Black Mirror.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, in Scotland at the minute, we've got this new law which has just passed. A lot of people are unhappy about it because literally something I say in my own home could be passed on secondhand to a neighbour, and that neighbour could have me done for a hate crime, or actually, as they call it in this country, in Scotland, a non-hate crime. So they're not even... Oh, no, hang on.
What?
Is that hate? No, hang on. Is that right? It's a hate, a non-hate, a non-crime around hate, something like that. Basically, you're getting prosecuted for not committing a crime.
Not
it's
hating
ridiculous
enough in
yeah
Scotland, okay.
Yeah, that's right. But that's terrifying.
No,
You know, and
that
technology, this technology could get into that. That could be part of that. And it does become very Black Mirror. That's a fear. You know, that's a definite fear.
Now, we only had a cursory glance at this. We haven't dived into Limitless.
No, we will do, though. We should do.
Was it accessible with VoiceOver on the Mac?
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, you know, it's one of those things with these websites that in some ways are actually quite simple. Their design is very simple. It's all text-based. So that's pretty cool. You're not having a huge amount to navigate around. So I thought it was okay. But I did try the app, and it wasn't quite as accessible. So there's a there's a Mac app. I think there's a Windows app as well. So I'll be interested to try. But we should definitely try again. Whether we should maybe do a little demo just to see what it does. But, you know, it's not going to blow people's minds as much today as perhaps it would have a year ago, which is, you know, again, wild to say because, you know, we look at this now and we go, oh, yeah, is that all it does? It just tells me the phone number I wrote down. Oh, great. You know, but actually that's huge now. You know, imagine being able to say, what was the phone number of that person? Or, you know, when did I say that I was going to be, you know, taking the bins out? And it just comes back with Tuesday and you're going to do it at 2 o'clock.
Oh, no. Our partners are going to love that.
Oh, I know.
You said
know.
You were going to do... No, I never. Yes, you did. Let's
that is take exactly a look. Black Mirror. That is exactly Black Mirror. Listen, I want to get this one in before we go. This is from Jewel.
I would just like to offer a correction. The very first restaurant by Colonel Sanders is in Shelbyville, Kentucky, not Salt Lake City, Utah.
Oh.
It was not named KFC, but it was the restaurant that started it all, started by Mr. and Mrs. Sanders themselves. So if you want to see the very first Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant, you have to go to, you guessed it, Kentucky. It's in the name, Jewel.
I must admit, and this is a slight admission or omission on my part, I kind of forgot that part. I focused so much on the chicken. I forgot about the Kentucky
fried
part.
Chicken.
Yeah.
The K was away.
The K was kind of ignored.
Kentucky, of course it is. Now, to be fair, I think you just threw Utah in there, just scrambling for something to say, didn't you?
Who?
But yes, you. When you were talking about
this. Someone sent this in. This wasn't me. I didn't make this up. Well, why would that up?
You said you wanted to somewhere special. You want to see the first KFC restaurant.
But I didn't say Utah.
Are you sure?
Yes. Okay. Well, but someone told me it was Utah. It wasn't me, Gov.
Oh, that old trick.
And Limitless wasn't turned on, so you've got no way to prove it.
Kentucky. Of course it is. Thank you very much.
Getting hungry now. Listen, before we go, just a quick message to all of you guys, because, again, I just want to thank you for the amount of messages you send in. They mean so much to us. They really do. And, you know, every time we sit down to do this show, we think to ourselves, I don't know how we're going to manage to fit anything else in around the news because we've got so much to talk about from you guys.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the conversation. I love your reviews as well. And if you want to keep sending them in, one thing we're going to be doing is obviously we've got YouTube now, so we can do some of these on video as well now. If you have the desire to send us a video file with your demo, and if you want to be brave and try it, then you can send it in. And if you're not sure about whether or not it's good enough, then, you know, send it in to us and we can tell you. We can maybe even provide you with some information or some help on how to do that. But it'd be really cool if you guys were able and wanted to send in a video of your demonstrations. Then we can put them up on YouTube as well. That'd be kind of cool.
Very nice.
But if you want to send them in audio, that's fine as well. We will take anything. We're not fussy over here at Double Tap. So, you know, we will take it.
Sounds very dismissive.
No, but it's true. Like, we're not fussy about, you know, I had one guy on a podcast ages ago and he's like, oh, the standard has to be this and it has to be that. And I'm like, no, just, you know what? Send in your audio. We'll deal with it. We can edit. So don't worry about it. Just send in your audio.
About the content.
Exactly. Content is key. It's every, people ask me all the time, what's the best microphone to buy? And it's like, you know what? The best microphone you have is the one in your smartphone. It doesn't matter what the smartphone is. If you go back 10 years, it's still going to be the best microphone you probably own. So, you know, it's all about the content. It really is. So if you've got a story or an app or a feature or a service or a piece of hardware, whatever it is you're playing with, you're trying out and you think, hey, I'd love to tell people about it. You know, that's what Double Tap is all about. We share this information freely to everybody else. So if you guys want to engage, and you can go check out all of the reviews that we've done and had done already by our wonderful listeners, Apple's Journal app by Gordon. We had that amazing review of the BetterHelp therapy service. I'm hearing a lot of people talking about that now.
Just that signed up. Dina.
You did?
Just signed up. Very easy to do, very accessible. And if you tick that you are disabled, you get a, I think it was 15% discount.
Interesting. Oh, there you go. Mm. Okay. And of course, we were talking about Accessible Downloader, YouTube Downloader Pro. Robin does a demo and an update on that for us there. So loads and loads of stuff you can find. It's all on our website, doubletaponair.com. We are going to take tomorrow off just to get ourselves back on track, go have a good sleep, get a nice hot drink, and get some sleep, and we'll be back on Monday. Tomorrow's show, you will get a little bit earlier, which will be our best of YouTube, and in there, we're going to be chatting with Gideon Mayhew about Project Tapestry, a fantastic app. Also, we are going to be finding out about the Rabbit R1. This is the other AI device that everyone's very excited about. The reviews are about to come in on that as well, so we'll see if there is...
Keep them crossed. It's going to be good.
See how those go compared to the Humane AI pin. But this is another interesting device. I've actually pre-ordered one. So I don't know when I'll get it, but I've pre-ordered it. Yes, I have pre-ordered one of these. Not the Humane AI pin. I decided to pre-order the Rabbit just because of this large action action model, which you can find out more about by checking out YouTube, because Robin Christofferson, our good friend, is there. He is telling us all about it, his thoughts on why it's the device for disabled people. So we'll get into that, and we even get into your feedback on the show as well on Best of YouTube. That coming up tomorrow. We are back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm Margaret Shepherd of the AMI podcast, Tripping On Air. Every month, my co-host Alex Hajar and I spill the tea on what it's really like to live with MS. Watch Tripping On Air on YouTube or download wherever you get your pods.